This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
Well, if you are a Christian, if you are a conservative, if you are a Republican, if you are a libertarian, you might be a terrorist. If you voted for Trump, if you have a MAGA hat, you might be a terrorist. And a new Biden administration grant, well, it's not new, the program's not new, going to university says, yes, you're also probably a Nazi. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. I'm going to tell you about this because this is outrageous. The story that first was broken by Brent Bozell at the Media Research Center this morning. And he was on with Maria Bartiromo on Fox Business. And the allegations here are just outrageous. I mean, basically, it's a university using a terrorism grant from the Department of Homeland Security, labeling you as probably a neo-Nazi if you supported Trump, or you're a Christian, or a conservative, or you're a Republican, or if you watched any of PragerU's classes, or maybe if you ever looked at anything from the Heritage Foundation, which is an organization we use on this program all of the time. I'll get into this in great detail, but it's just one more further proof of the weaponization of this government by the Biden administration. It really is just outrageous. But here's the good news. Today, the United States Supreme Court handed two major wins for freedom, liberty, and the United States Constitution. They smacked down EPA and they smacked down government theft. Two unanimous decisions. Really fantastic. I mean, it's fantastic. First of all, there was something for years called the WOTUS rule, the Waters of the United States. Let me sum it up for you. Did you ever see the movie Finding Nemo? If you did, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because the famous line in that movie is, "All drains lead to the ocean, kid." And that's how the Environmental Protection Agency interpreted its power under the Clean Water Act. Oh, there's water. Well, all water eventually leads to the ocean, navigable waters. Therefore, we can control and regulate all of it, even if it's on your private property, even if it affects your ability to build a shed in your backyard. We at the Environmental Protection Agency, we have say over this as long as any water anywhere reaches a navigable waterway. And the power of WOTUS, as it's called, kept increasing. And then there was this homeowner who said she had 0.63 acres of land, she and her husband. And they wanted to build a house on there. And the EPA said no, because there were wetlands there. And therefore, the wetlands connect to a tributary, which connects to a thing. And there's another thing. It connects to that thing. And therefore, it leads to a river. And they sued. And in this unanimous decision, they were represented by the Pacific Legal Foundation, an amazing organization of a libertarian, pro-freedom, pro-constitution-leaning law firm that fights for these people pro bono, by the way. Pacific Legal Foundation and Institute for Justice are two of the leading firms in this country, organizations, I should say, that are fighting for the Bill of Rights. The ACLU does not fight for the Bill of Rights. It has not done that in a very long time. The American Civil Liberties Union today is a joke. It is a far left organization that mostly exists for abortion and LGBTQ+IA, every letter of the alphabet causes, and that's it. That's it. They don't defend freedom of speech anymore. In fact, they have sided with hate speech codes. They sided with vaccine mandates. Yeah, the American Civil Liberties Union sided with the Biden administration's vaccine mandate, arguing that even though they usually fight for liberty, since the collective is effective here, they can see how that overrides individual liberty. They used to fight for freedom of speech, but now they're all about campus hate speech codes because some people might be triggered. So anyway, since the ACLU is it's over, it's a pro-criminal organization, not a pro-Bill of Rights organization. And there's a distinction there. You know, I'm somebody who always talks about the need for somebody to be innocent until proven guilty, the need for reforming our laws because we have too many of them, and the need, of course, to make sure that everybody has the right to a fair and speedy trial, and that the government does not spy on you, the government does not weaponize its power against you. But the ACLU only cares about making sure that criminals today, in this day and age, don't serve their jail sentence. It's very bizarre. So now we turn to two great groups called the Pacific Legal Foundation and the Institute for Justice, because they fight for the Bill of Rights. They have become what the ACLU once was, and they fight for freedom and they fight for liberty. And so in these two cases today, one said the Environmental Protection Agency had gone way out of line with its interpretation and its power up of the WOTUS, Waters of the United States Act. And the second case said that a government which seized a woman's home, a 90-year-old woman, sold that home to pay the back taxes, and then kept the extra profits, that was unconstitutional. Two unanimous opinions. Let's think about that second case for a moment, shall we? The woman in this case fell behind in her property taxes. And it happens. People fall behind on their property taxes. It's a shame when it happens because obviously it's something that the government is never going to let go of. You know, they want that money and they're going to come after you and they're going to get it. They will never, ever rest. They will keep coming. You know that. They will never settle down. And then they tack on penalties and interest. Penalties and interest. And then eventually that bill becomes something that is so insane that people can't do anything about it. And they wind up losing their homes. So in this particular case today, another property right win. I mean, this is really important to note. The government said, you have a right to sell her house. You have a right to seize it. You have a right to sell it. To get your money back, to get what you're owed. But anything above that, you have to return to the homeowner. So let's say, for example, your home, you bought it for $60,000. You put all this money into it. And it's now worth $120,000. You know, you put new doors and new windows and you put an addition on, you put a pool in the backyard, whatever it was. Cleaned it up, painted it up. It's now worth twice what you paid for it. You owe the government what it started out to be a couple hundred bucks in property taxes, but with fees and interest, it's now accrued to over $5,000. In some cases, $15,000. In some cases, even more. So now the government comes in and says, well, we're taking your home, we're auctioning it off to pay what's owed to us, the property taxes. The court said, that's fine, you can do that. You're allowed to do that. But all you can take is what's owed to you. Everything above that, you have to give back to the homeowner because it's their money. It's their equity and you can't steal it. And Chief Justice John Roberts, writing for the majority in this case, he said, the government has a right to take it. You are supposed to give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but not a penny more. And it was a big win for freedom. It's amazing what we put these homeowners through. It really is. It's amazing what we put these homeowners through and why we have to turn around every single day and realize that the government is fighting. And in a unanimous decision by the lower court, they said the government has the right to take your home and keep the extra profit. Keep the extra profit. Isn't that something? I know. It is absolutely crazy. It's called home equity theft. In this case today, Geraldine Tyler, an elderly woman who sued Hennepin County, Minnesota, for the unconstitutional theft of her home equity. She fell behind on her property taxes for her one-bedroom condo. The government seized the home, sold it, and kept every penny, even though it was more than double what she owed. That is called home equity theft. Tyler v. Hennepin. 94-year-old great-grandmother fights home equity theft in Minnesota. Took her 10 years. 10 years of fighting this, and she won. Now, the reason why the lower court said the government has the right to take everything, all of it, is because the lower court and the lefty judge who wrote the majority believes that your money is not yours. The equity in your home is not yours. It all belongs to the government and to the people. It's not really yours. Private property rights don't exist. Everything you have belongs to the collective, and the government can take it at any time, at any moment. So you fell into arrears with your property taxes. The taxes and fees instead, boom, 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 adds on. What was once a $2,300 tax debt for this woman became $15,000 with penalties, fees, and interest. Poor woman owed $2,300 and became $15,000, and she couldn't afford it. So the county seized her condo. They sold it for $40,000. Instead of keeping the $15,000 it was owed and refunding her the excess money, the excess surplus, the equity in her home, the county kept all of it. Every penny. And today, the Supreme Court shot that down in a unanimous decision, which makes me very, very happy. And then the second case was a big win today for private property rights when it concerns the Environmental Protection Agency. And the Supreme Court deals a major blow to Biden environmental policy in a unanimous ruling. Even though the Washington Post wrote it as a 5-4 decision by the MAGA court, and Chuck Schumer's on Twitter whining that the MAGA court has once again destroyed our ability to have clean drinking water, it was a unanimous decision. It was a unanimous decision. But the left is overreacting as usual, and they don't want to tell people that. But literally, in the Washington Post story, nowhere in the story does it say that the ruling was unanimous 9-0 decision. Now, there were different concurring opinions that split 5-4, but a concurring opinion is not a dissent. And the opinion of the majority, 9-0, overturning the lower court, which said the Environmental Protection Agency has the power to govern every drop of water in this country, was overturned unanimously. So Chuck Schumer tweets out, "This MAGA Supreme Court is continuing to erode our country's environmental laws. Make no mistake, this ruling will mean more polluted water and more destruction of wetlands. We'll fight to keep and protect our waters." So somebody needs to tell Chuck Schumer that it was a unanimous 9-0 ruling against the Environmental Protection Agency. But when I read the Washington Post article, and it's funny, it's cute, I mean, to read it and to hear them whining about this, it was a major setback for the Environmental Protection Agency. And it makes me happy to think about these two rulings today, because very soon the court is going to rule on Chevron. And if the court overturns Chevron, that is going to be the greatest blow to the administrative state, the federal Leviathan, and the bureaucracy. It will smack down the executive branch of government and say, stay in your lane. The Congress makes laws, not you. You enforce the laws Congress passes. You don't make up new laws. And I think the court's absolutely going to rule to overturn Chevron, which is the deference to these federal agencies to say, oh, well, a federal agency can do whatever it wants because somewhere there's a law they can cite. This court, and this is Donald Trump's true legacy, is bringing normalcy back to this country, little by little. Overturning Roe v. Wade, which was something that the federal government and the federal constitution never should have touched. You know, I got asked a question the other day. How is Governor Ron DeSantis going to respond about Florida's 6-week abortion ban? Very simple. Abortion is an issue that is left to the states, period. There is no federal law on abortion. There should not be a federal law on abortion. It's left to the states, which means that if a state wants to have a ban after 6 weeks, the state is allowed to do that. If a state wants to have abortion up until the last possible moment, the federal government cannot intervene. Unless, of course, you're talking about something that is actual life, in which case there are federal laws that would govern that if they could pass, called the Born Alive Protection Act. But beyond that, in terms of abortion, it is a state's right issue. That's going to be the answer. I mean, that's the answer that DeSantis will give. It's not in the federal constitution. It's the same answer Trump gave. It's the same answer that every conservative Republican should give. I'm pro-life. This is an issue for the states. But what we need to do on the federal level is make sure that with the Born Alive Protection Act is passed so that a baby who's born, who is now a human being with rights under the law, although I believe they're always a human being, but gets the protection immediately at that moment. It's a shame that we can't pass this act. It really is. And you have these blue lefty states that obviously on this issue are going to the absolute extremes on this. It's frustrating to me, being in New Jersey, But it's better than having a federal law, because a federal law on the issue is always going to side with the left on this. And at least you can have states that can bring semblance and normalcy to the issue, thanks to the government, to the Supreme Court overturning Roe. That's a big deal. But I don't think it's going to affect DeSantis or Trump in the next election, because they just turn around and say, states' rights, states' issue, it's states' issue. If it's not in the Constitution, it's in the state. It belongs to the states. That's how we have to get back to governing. We have to get back to governing that way. You have to get back to saying what the federal government's power is, and it doesn't go beyond that. The Constitution restrains the federal government. That's why it's there. And so if the federal government doesn't have the authority over it, then you don't do, then it doesn't deal with it. That's how it has to be. And I know that there's philosophical arguments about that, because it says life and liberty and everything. I understand that. But this issue specifically is not something that the Constitution touches, and so it's a state's issue. That's the answer. But they overturned Roe. They've also restored individual rights to property owners, to homeowners. They have strengthened the power of the right under the Second Amendment of the Constitution for people to defend themselves outside the home when they overturned that New York State gun case. And today they smacked down the EPA, another blow to the administrative state. This comes after another smackdown of EPA last year. And they smacked down government theft. Trump's real legacy is this court. I mean, this Supreme Court is his legacy, because this court is trying to return normalcy and restore the constitutional order and remind everybody, listen, the federal government doesn't get to do anything it wants. And the Constitution means what it says. And the protections and the rights and the liberties enshrined in the Bill of Rights mean what they say. It's great. It's very good. It makes me very happy. I'm very happy today with these two Supreme Court rulings. 855-839-1210 if you'd like to weigh in on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Governor Ron DeSantis' kickoff last night, as you can imagine, there's a lot of discussion about that. And if you are a Christian, a Republican, a conservative, if you read the Heritage Foundation, or if you go to Prager University, or PragerU, I should say, online, or a whole host of other things, you're probably a Nazi, at least according to Biden's Department of Homeland Security. And the latest on the debt battle as default nears. Will there be an agreement? We'll find out all these things on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Don't forget, tomorrow, live in Cape May, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, our live broadcast tomorrow, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. I want to see you there. So make the trip. Beat the traffic. Get there early. The pool bar be open. You know what I mean? Walk on the beach. Go to Hemingway's restaurant, get some great food. It'll be fantastic. All right, 855-839-1210. Coming right back.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Zeoli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
So obviously a lot of conversations about 2024 today. A lot of chatter about it after Governor Ron DeSantis officially entered the race yesterday and had that techie, glitchy announcement on Twitter last night, which is in of itself controversial. The fact that he was on there with Elon Musk in the Twitter spaces, and that it kept crashing and it didn't work very, very well for a while. And the fact is, and this is what I said to you yesterday, you know, I would have much preferred, if I were him, a big old-fashioned rally, because the story today should not be about the method by which you deliver your message. It should be about the message. And unfortunately for him, I think a lot of the debate has been about the means by which he delivered his message last night, whether it was a good idea or not, whether or not Elon Musk sabotaged him. Of course, it's been open to all kinds of fodder from Donald Trump, from Joe Biden, from a bunch of other people as well. The good news for him, though, is that I don't think it matters in the long run. I mean, I was watching this last night thinking, is this a Michael Dukakis tank moment? You know, is it going to be that bad? I don't think so for two reasons. Number one, I think people have very short attention spans these days. It's Memorial Day weekend. People are going to forget about this by next week. And number two, it is Elon Musk's platform. So, you know, it's not really, you can say he made a bad choice going on that platform, but it's not like he's running it. It's not that he's in charge of it. It's not his company. So then to use that as a method by which you turn around and judge his ability to govern or lead or something like that is silly, because it's not his, you know. If Elon Musk were running for president, well, then you could use that and say, well, you couldn't even get this Twitter Spaces to work. And how could you run the country? But just going on somebody's platform is not a reflection of your ability to govern. You know what I mean? So I don't think that's an issue in the long run. However, I do think people will say that. I mean, people already have said that. I mean, Donald Trump was saying as much, which you'd expect him to do, of course. I mean, certainly I would do that. If I were against DeSantis, I would absolutely say that. I'd say, is this what we're going to expect from him as president? Just a cluster F the whole time? But from DeSantis' perspective, in his opinion, we broke the internet, he said. We broke the internet, and it was overwhelming how much support we had. We broke the internet and raised $1 million in 1 hour. Basically, by next week, this whole issue of how he announced his candidacy goes away. And then it's just, and then it's the summer, and everybody kind of tunes out for the summer, thank God. And with the exception of where the candidates really go, and if you're really into politics, you still follow it, obviously. And then in the fall, things will heat up. And by then, certainly nobody's going to remember this. But what Governor Ron DeSantis said last night were very important message points that he got out. We'll share some of them with you, of course, on the show today. And I will not be sending out any fundraising links for him or any other candidate for that matter. People are beating up Levin. Levin does that for every candidate that comes on his show. So he had Trump on. He sent out Trump's link. He had DeSantis on. He sent out DeSantis' link. So they're killing Levin over that last night. And I don't think that's necessary. He even put out a tweet last night saying that, you know, when I have a candidate come on the show, I put out a link to their website or their donations page. And he's replaying his interview with Trump from Life, Liberty, and Levin on Sunday night. So, but everybody's very touchy right now, obviously. Everybody's very touchy, and, you know, there's a lot of anger and a lot of frustration and a lot of, you know, people walking on eggshells out there, at least on social media. You know, the question always is social media a real indicator of life, of real life? And it's not, because people get their social media muscles, keyboard warriors, and they feel a lot. They say things online they would never say to a person to their face in life, typically speaking, obviously. There's always exceptions, but, and it's the passions flow, and, you know, and they start fighting on Twitter, and they think that they're going to win the argument and convince somebody to change their mind, and they get all fired up over it. Outside of that, though, in the real life world, outside of the social media zone, are people fighting over Trump and DeSantis like they are on Twitter? Probably not. I think most people are taking a wait and see approach to both candidates at this point. They're going to wait and see and find out what they like and see if they can win. And I mean, I had a doctor's appointment today, and the doctor walked in and said, DeSantis is the only one who can win. Trump can't win. All right. Then I saw a guy who was driving a truck, and he said the exact opposite to me. DeSantis can't win. He's too boring. He's too robotic. Trump's the only one who can win. So it's a lot of that back and forth. You know what I mean? It's a lot of that back and forth. But I think most people, unless you've already decided, are just kind of taking a wait and see approach. Trump has a major lead, obviously, as the former president. And I think that's going to be there. No question about it. But I think in terms of outside of that, the undecided Republican voters, and I do think there's a lot of them, are going to be tuning in to find out what these two have to say. I don't think the lesser candidates, though, are going to move the needle. I mean, the only thing that they might do, it's funny, like Chris Christie is out there on this coalition, he's by himself, but he's on this quest to stop Trump. And he says, I'm the only one who can do it because I'm the only one who can battle Trump one-on-one. Well, that's what DeSantis' argument is, right? And Christie's polling at 0%. I mean, maybe 1% in New Hampshire, if you're being generous. The more people that get in the race that are not Trump, obviously it dilutes the anti-Trump vote theoretically, if people vote for Christie, which I don't know if they will, but, and then Trump wins the primary. So, I mean, ironically enough, if you are somebody who's entering the race to stop Trump, probably what you want to do is coalesce around some candidate, like one candidate. So you have a one-on-one competition. And if that, but the problem is they all, their egos are too big. They can't do that. They can never just turn around and go, you know what? We got to stop Trump here. So we're all going to back you, Governor DeSantis. Their egos are way too big for that. So my point is that as more candidates get in the race, I mean, Pence is going to get in the race, apparently, maybe Glenn Youngkin. All it does then is help Trump, because Trump's people are not going anywhere. You know, Trump's voters are loyal and they're not going anywhere. If you support Trump today, that's not changing ever. It's just not. You know, I'm right about this. So really what you're competing for at this point in the race for president, for the Republican nomination, is you're competing for all the other Republican voters out there who may like Trump, but they're not sure he can win again, or they're not sure if his age is an issue or whatever, or they like DeSantis, though, and they think maybe he's what we need. And so they're waiting and they're going back and forth, and they really are going to make their minds up based on how this election goes. There's a pro-DeSantis element, obviously, that is also not going to change. They have decided that he's the only one who can win. Trump cannot win. They are backing DeSantis, and they are not going to waver in that. So outside of those two groups is all the other voters. And I think all those other voters are taking that wait-and-see approach. But as more candidates get in this race, it helps Trump. Christie is actually doing Trump a favor by getting in the race, assuming he gets any traction, which I don't think he will. But theoretically speaking, I mean. So does Pence, because Pence is going to run in the race and he's going to say, I'm the only one who can just stop Trump. No, you're not. You're not going to be the nominee. I mean, I respect Mike Pence tremendously, but he's not going to be the nominee, period. So all he's going to do again is dilute the anti-Trump vote. It really shows you in politics how people have just gigantic egos, right? And I told you, I mean, some people thought, well, why doesn't Trump and DeSantis team up? And I said, the reason why they won't is ego. You know, DeSantis does not think he needs to be somebody's number two. He thinks he can win it all. So, you know, that's where things are. But I know a lot of people right now are hoping that we can just kind of get to the Super Tuesday sweep in March and get this over with. It's going to be a long road. It's going to be a long, ugly road, as I've been telling you. So I'm not going to make it any uglier. I don't have to. If you want to see ugly, just go on Twitter and see people fighting with each other over Trump and DeSantis. People that are, for the most part, on the same side, and people that at some point are going to have to eat their words if the other person's nominee becomes the nominee. The other person's choice becomes the nominee. There's going to be a lot of word eating when that happens. You know, so, I mean, again, I think it's better just to debate policy issues, policy-wise, because a lot of people are saying things, and I look at some of the tweets and I go, but if DeSantis does become the nominee, what are you going to take all these down? Are you going to erase them? Are you going to delete all these? Because this kind of stuff, I mean, a Democrat would love to use against him. And I say the same thing about Trump. You know, if Trump does become a nominee, what do you say? Are you saying you're not going to vote for him? You're out? And you're going to let another 4 years of this madness continue in Washington? Another 4 years of Joe Biden? Another 4 years of the government being weaponized against you and using all of its power against you? You know, the story that Brent Bozell at the Media Research Center put out. And so before I get to that, let me just say, so I don't need to make it any uglier. And I know that may not make some people happy. Like they would love for me to start going after one or the other. And I hear it all day long, all day long. You got to get behind DeSantis. He's the only one who can win. You got to get behind Trump because, you know, you were with Trump before and you'll be loyal. You will make your decision. I don't need to ratchet up the ugliness anymore. It's not necessary. There's going to be enough of that. I'll bring you all the candidates running for president and all the issues, and you're going to decide. And man, it's a long way to go. It's May 25th. We got to get to March of 2024 without killing each other. I hope we can do it. I really do. I mean, I hope we can do it because I'm getting a little nervous, but you know, I hope our better angels will prevail. But so over at the Media Research Center, Brent Bozell put out a letter to Jim Jordan pointing out that their research has shown the Biden Department of Homeland Security is weaponizing an anti-terror program against Christians, conservatives, and the Republican Party. Yeah, it's outrageous. It really is outrageous. Under the Trump administration, the Targeted Violence and Terrorism Prevention Grant Program was used to prevent terrorism, but it was revamped under the Biden administration and renamed to provide funding for localities to combat, quote, all forms of terrorism and targeted violence. And you know what that means? Obviously, under Joe Biden, it became white supremacy, the greatest threat to America. And they decided now that they were going to target the entire spectrum of the political right and Christians through, quote, media literacy and online critical thinking initiatives and other so-called training seminars as part of a coordinated effort to make America into a one-party system. So the Media Research Center did a Freedom of Information Act request, and they found all these documents out, and it's very, very scary. The University of Dayton, one of several grantees under this Department of Homeland Security program, targeted groups including the Heritage Foundation. Now, we have scholars on from the Heritage Foundation on this show all the time. Fox News, Christian Broadcasting Network, Turning Point USA, that's Charlie Kirk's organization, Young Conservatives, Prager University, the National Rifle Association, Breitbart News, the American Conservative Union Foundation, and the Republican National Committee. And here's the best part. They essentially equate all of these groups with Nazis. Yes, Nazis, actual Nazis. And so if you're a member of any of these organizations, or you're a member of the Make America Great Again movement, you are put in a pyramid of far right radicalization. On the bottom of the pyramid is Fox News, the Republican Party, the Heritage Foundation, the National Rifle Association. The next tier in the pyramid, Prager University, Make America Great Again, Breitbart News. The one after that, you get into all the Nazi stuff. You get into all the Nazi stuff. There, Stormer and the wacko, you know, lunatic groups that have very small membership and are inconsequential, but hate people, obviously. But they're not real groups. They're not real. It's like I talked to Wilford Riley about this. You know, you can argue that the greatest threat to America is domestic violent extremism, but these groups are maybe made up of 20 people and they're not organized. And, you know, and maybe you get a couple hundred people marching in the streets and you got to wonder of that group, how many of them are actual feds. But under this pyramid system, you are lumped in here with Nazis. If you simply are a Republican, if you're a Christian, if you're a conservative, if you look at the articles on the Heritage Foundation, if you read Prager U or watch any of Dennis Prager's online courses, you are effectively a Nazi. You're on the pyramid of far right radicalization. If you have a Make America Great Again hat, or you are part of the Make America Great Again movement, you are effectively a Nazi. And this program cost taxpayers $40 million. Yeah, and 80 different grants were sent out as part of this program by the Department of Homeland Security. The University of Dayton Prevents Ohio was among the most radical grantees within the media literacy and online critical thinking initiatives. The Department of Homeland Security awarded the University of Dayton $350,000 to establish this program, which promised to draw on the expertise of the University of Dayton faculty to fight domestic violent extremism and hate movements. And using this chart in this training program, they equate mainstream groups with militant neo-Nazis. The seminar also compared former President Donald Trump to Pol Pot and suggested Florida Governor Ron DeSantis wants to start a second Holocaust. Kid you not. They had one of the lefty speakers up there who said that Ron DeSantis's idea to create essentially a civilian force to assist the National Guard when there's things like hurricanes is really the equivalent of the brown shirts and could lead to another Holocaust. I kid you not. That's one of the speakers at this conference. They had a big conference in Dayton. They brought all these speakers up on stage and I listened to it before the show today. And I was blown away by what they were saying. They suggested that the Khmer Rouge, right, which is one of the most violent militant organizations under Pol Pot, which killed millions of people, that is essentially what Donald Trump would do again if he became president of the United States. It's awful. I mean, it's terrible. This is what the Biden Department of Homeland Security is doing. This is what the FBI, the NSA, the deep state, this government has become so weaponized against us. If you disagree with them, if you're on the opposite side of the political aisle from them, you are lumped in with militant Nazi groups. It's outrageous. I get a lot more on this for you. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Your reaction to Governor Ron DeSantis's announcement yesterday, how you think things are going, feel free to weigh in on Twitter at Rich Zeoli or 855-839-1210. And I'll tell you something, when it comes to your home, trust is everything, is it not? It's everything. And that's why you want my friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding to take care of your home. Because Matt and Stephanie, who are the owners, they get it. They understand. They've got kids too, and they know how tough this economy is. That's why they're offering each and every one of my listeners 10% off every project that they do and 12 months same as cash to pay for it. That's right. 12 months same as cash and 10% off Anderson windows, siding, a new roof, roof repairs, doors, you name it, they'll cover it for you. And I trust Emmons Roofing and Siding because they're the people I used in my home. They did such a great job on my roof. I had them do my windows. I had them do my doors. And soon they're going to do a big streaming project for me as well. So you can trust them because I trust them. Just go to emmonsroofing.com, E-M-M-O-N-S. They'll handle your house if you're in Delaware, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and the Jersey Shore. In fact, Matt Kelly, the owner, texted me the other day. They're doing a very big project at the Jersey Shore. So reach out to Emmons today, emmonsroofing.com, the company I trust, emmonsroofing.com.
Thanks for listening to the Zeoli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
It is Thursday, which is basically Friday Eve. And the best part is tomorrow live in Cape May. I hope you're going to come because if you miss out, you're going to regret it. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a live show. We got some great guests lined up for tomorrow. The bar will be open. In fact, I just got a text from my buddy Tommy McDonald, who's our engineer supreme when it comes to these road shows. And he sent me a picture of the ballroom. Ready to go for tomorrow. The setup is there and the bar is going to be open. Now, my suggestion to you is get there early. You know, forget the Memorial Day traffic. Because, you know, Friday, Memorial Day weekend, it's going to be a mess. So get there early. The pool bar is going to be open. The restaurant, Hemingway's restaurant, is going to be open. Take a nice walk on the beach, you know, and enjoy yourself before the show. And then you'll definitely enjoy the show. We're going to be loaded up tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun. And DeSantis, do you still have my megaphone or can you bring my megaphone?
The megaphones are in the studio. I will grab them on the way out today.
All right. I'd appreciate that. Thank you. Do you still have the Joe Biden puppet?
I was actually about to text you to see if you wanted that. Yeah, I do have that.
Yeah, let's bring the puppet too. Why not?
Why not?
We could put him on the chair or something. People will take pictures with him if they like.
It's a cool
thing. And the megaphone could come in handy. I don't know. So we're loaded up though. We got a lot of great guests coming on.
Oh yeah, we got a ton. Divulge that information or no?
Nah, let's let it be a surprise because this way people know they need to tune in or come to the live show.
Good idea.
You know what I love about these live shows too is because people are so nice there. You don't have to do this. I'm not asking you to get me anything. Please don't actually. But so last year at our last live show, there were people playing Zeoli Army Bingo, and I know some people won Zeoli Army shirts, and some people actually gave theirs to them. It was just kindness and generosity all around. We will have some Zeoli Army shirts tomorrow. I don't know how many, but we'll have some. That's the key part. But I got this nice note last year at our last live broadcast from Tom and Carol. They gave me a T-shirt, a Godfather T-shirt. It's actually a really cool shirt. And they wrote me a nice note. Said, "Dear Rich, may God bless you abundantly. You are such a gift from the Lord. We love you and your family. We think of you as family. We have come to know and depend on your outstanding insight and knowledge. It just so happens you are always right about everything. It's gospel. Love, Tom and Carol. P.S. If you could just calm down, Reagan. LOL. Now if you could just calm down, Reagan, LOL. So that's what I mean. Very wonderful people, sweethearts of people that come out and see us, and it's always a lot of fun. We'll take pictures, say hello. We'll always take pictures, and we'll chat. Now, you know that part about what she said about feeling like I'm family. I love to hear that. But it's also why I don't want to make this primary any more negative. I don't want to bring any... There's going to be so much negativity to it. I don't need to add to it. I don't. So you're free to support who you want to support. Go ahead and make your case. I mean, you're welcome to make your case. I want you to, and tell us why, and you know, make your case. But I'm not going to use this show as a way for us to tear each other apart and kill each other, because I remember what 2016 was like, having to put Humpty Dumpty back together again, and it was not easy, and it was close. You know, there were a lot of people that became Never Trumpers after that primary, and I was begging them every day, you know, please, we need the Supreme Court. Please, just vote for Trump. You have to do it. We need to win. We need the court. Otherwise, Hillary Clinton's going to change this country forever by her justices. And, you know, today's reminder, the two wins in the Supreme Court for liberty, where the government told EPA, you have exceeded your authority and smacked down EPA's authority. And the Supreme Court said, no, government, you can't steal people's home equity. Those wins, along with the win in the Second Amendment case up in New York, the Rifle and Pistol Club case, that said your right to carry a concealed weapon outside your home and protect yourself and your family cannot be abridged by these unnecessary state regulations. And overturning Roe v. Wade, of course. So, yes, it has been a transformation of this country, the United States Supreme Court. It has been the greatest part of Trump's legacy, because it's going to outlast everything. It will. The decisions this court hands down, by restoring normalcy to the 14th Amendment, by saying it doesn't cover everything, and hopefully when they overturn Chevron and they say that the executive branch of government cannot just make up laws, will be a wonderful restoration of the order of how this country is supposed to operate. Now, we got a long way to go, but I think that, and in tandem with the House Select Committee on the Weaponization of Government, which is looking into all of these three-letter agencies that are now poised to go against you, and not poised to, they are going against you. They've been censoring you, and they've been lying to you, and they've been targeting you for years if you're a conservative. And this latest story about this grant on this University of Dayton, where they're targeting conservatives and lumping Christians and conservatives and Republicans and people that watch PragerU and people that read the articles on the Heritage Foundation or listen to the guests on the Heritage Foundation with neo-Nazis and Nazis. And to suggest that this administration is putting money in the hands of speakers who are standing on stage and saying that Donald Trump is like Pol Pot, one of the most brutal, murderous regimes in the history of the world, and that Governor Ron DeSantis is going to usher in another Holocaust? I mean, it's insane. But this is what this administration is doing. So we have a lot more to go. Target. Charlie Kirk just posted a few minutes ago on Twitter an internal memo from Target, which is doubling down on all of its woke merchandise. It's funny, last night I saw my friend Steve and Aaron, and we were chatting about this at an event, and normally I make fun of him for playing pickleball relentlessly, but this time we were actually on the same page, as we all agreed that what Target is doing here is just so out of line, and we're done as parents. We're done shopping at that store, because you walk in and you just simply can't get away from it. And it is just, I don't want it. So I'm good. I'll stick with Walmart. It's fine with me. Or I'm always a mom and pop shopper. If I can find a mom and pop store to do it, like Making Waves down in Cape May, for example, that's where I'm going. You know what I mean? If I need something, I'll always start there first. Every time, always. And when it comes to food, you know, I'm also very particular about that as well. That's why when Omaha Steaks rolls out their Father's Day promotions, they go like that. Because guys love steaks, and dads love steaks, and dads don't love ties. We don't need ties. We don't need any more golf shirts. We're good. What we want is great food to bring family and friends together around the grill, and that's what Omaha Steaks does. And when you use my name, Zioli, at checkout, you're going to get an extra $30 off your order at omahasteaks.com. That's right. Delicious, succulent steaks that are perfectly aged and hand-cut, butcher's cut filet mignons, the burgers, which are juicy, restaurant-grade burgers. There's so much that Omaha Steaks offers to make the time around the grill really special. And you'll make dad very happy. I know this. I'm a dad, and I send my dad Omaha Steaks. So right now, go to omahasteaks.com, put in my name, Zioli, at checkout, get the extra $30 off your order. Minimum order may be required. It's a way to make dad very happy this Father's Day. And don't forget desserts, too. They got the caramel apple tartlets, which are delicious. They have all kinds of great side dishes, like potatoes au gratin. They have seafood, air-chilled chicken breasts, gourmet meals, you name it, Omaha Steaks has it covered. And this is a family owned company for generations. America's oldest butcher, still family owned, not owned by the Chinese government, owned by actual farmers in Nebraska, actual purveyors of some of the nation's finest meat you can ever find. OmahaSteaks.com, keyword Zeoli.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.